praise and worship, you guys are going to have to see my jellyfish because it's pretty much...
Do it now.
Do it now? I mean...
Cool, do it now.
Yeah.
So, hey guys, like Zach said, my name is Erin. And so, how was the passion? You know, didn't see that ending coming, right?
Zero!
As you know, Mason told us on Friday that God our Father is calling each of us to a special life to be close to Him. And Noah told us that Jesus is the way to the Father. All we have to do is accept Him as our Savior. And we heard an amazing talk by Brittany on how we can do this by trying to become more like Christ, by following His example in our personal life and community. So I'm here today to help you take a look at how well we are following Jesus. This talk is called Day by Day, and it means just that, following Jesus in our day-to-day lives. So, why do you follow someone? Is it because they're popular, and if you do what they do, you'll be considered popular too? Is it the way they dress, their personality? Well, whatever it is, you want to be close to that person as much as you can, and you want to follow that person. So, for me, the person that is my role model is my dad. He's such a loving person and a great role model for me and my siblings. He does a lot around the house that I don't thank him enough for, like helping me with homework and like food shopping, which is really weird for a guy, right? And he never complains about anything. My dad is so amazing for seeing the best in people. He volunteers with soup kitchens and helps pray with the people in prison. He doesn't judge them for their past or what they'll do in the future, but he cares for them and wants them to be united with Jesus, just like Jesus does for us. But Jesus cares for us in a far more greater way, with unconditional love. That means loving us to the highest extent, no matter what sins we may make in our lives. So, following Jesus is a lot like following someone here on earth, but the only difference is that he wants you to follow him. He won't be like, OMG, Dad, why are these people in my house every Sunday? He loves you more than I can explain and wants what's best for you. But how do we do that? The answer might be in these Bible verses I'm about to read, which are Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 21. Now someone approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to them, "All these I have observed, but what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." So when I first read this passage, I thought to myself, you know, I keep most of the commandments, some not so much, but I think I'm set. I'm going to go to heaven eventually. And then I read the next part, and it said, "Leave all your possessions and follow me." I don't think you know how much money I've spent on clothes, and I don't think we have the same body type, so... But it's not like that. God invites us to a life of greatness and perfection with Him. It's like being invited to this really cool party, but the party is every day, and it's with Jesus and all your friends and family. He accepts us wherever we are in life. He gives us free will and loves us without conditions, also known as unconditional love. Like I stated above, that rhymes. So I'm going to do a little personal evaluation on how well or not so well I have been following Christ in my day-to-day life. Personally, I would like to do better, and I know you could all strive for this as well. And speaking of you beautiful candidates, you will be able to do your own private evaluation after my talk. So while I'm talking, you can reflect on your own life and where we are today in terms of following Christ. Now, God has given us incredible gifts. He gave us the gift of life, which is like the greatest gift of all. And to go along with that, we have our mind and soul, which make us unique and who we are today. But are we really taking care of ourselves and not abusing the wonderful gift that God has given us? Are we being modest? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. But Aaron, what about that really cool party next Friday? Chad told me he was going, so I better wear a cute crop top and some super tight shorts so he'll notice me. No, girl, you are not in the right type of relationship if you have to dress like that for Chad. And bad Chad. Wow, I'm great with these rhymes today. Wow. And the worst thing is, when someone dresses like that, there's a greater chance someone will take advantage of that person and do terrible things to them. So, are we staying away from drugs and alcohol? And yeah, we're going back to the party scenario. So imagine your friend coming up to you and being like, hey, do you see that weed in the corner? Let's go get some. Or, wow, Carly gave me some alcohol. Here, have a sip. So personally, I've been good with not doing this stuff throughout high school, but I've heard how it goes. Something happens to your mind when you get to college, like a sense of freedom or something. And it's going to be way harder for me to stay away from drugs and alcohol. Not because I want to try it, but the abundance of it that there will be and the peer pressure from my friends will be pretty insane. So, going to peer pressure. If someone popular asked you to do something and you didn't know if it was right or wrong, would you do it anyway? Think about it. You'd be cool, and then they would let you sit with them at lunch or hang out with them after school. You'd be popular. That would be so much fun and a good thing, right? Well, hate to break it to you, but you're wrong. While your friends may think it's good, God doesn't. And would you rather be rejected at a lunch table or rejected at the golden gates of heaven by God? And for drugs and alcohol, you're basically saying to God, I don't care that you gave me this life. The 4-hour high that drugs give me is worth dying for. So I'm going to read you a story. I think I heard it from Father Tom, but I don't really know. So this guy, he was going through a pretty rough time, like doing drugs and hooking up and stuff, and he didn't care about his life at all. But when a religious person crossed his path, he said to him, I want you to go in the church, and I want you to tell God on the crucifix that you don't care about your life at all, and that God made a mistake. And the man rolled his eyes, and he said, easy enough, I got this. So when he got into that church, he pointed his finger at God and he said nothing because he started crying. He fell to his knees and went to the man who turned out to be a priest. He went to confession and soon enough he stopped doing drugs and not drinking much alcohol. And I hope you guys find the courage to say no to drinking and smoking in the future as well. So the things we do out of habit, like hanging out with friends, going to watch a movie, or even studying for a test, have all formed a pattern in our lives. Our friends also have a great influence on how we spend our time and spend our lives. I spend a lot of time with my best friend. I'm pretty sure I see her more than both my parents combined. But thankfully, she's following the path of Christ just like me, and so are all these amazing table leaders and all the other team. But what about my other school friends? Are they leading me to God? And a lot of time, the real answer is no. I remember, this wasn't too long ago, I got invited to a party that everyone was going to. And it was like the party. Like, you know those parties where like, if you don't go, you're like not cool. Yeah, well, that was that party. And so there was gonna be like alcohol, I heard, and I was like, don't really want to, but I had the Holy Spirit on my shoulder saying not to go, but just like a little part of me wanted to be like, yeah, you know, I'll go, but I won't do anything. I'll just go, right? So my mom found out. And she was like, Aaron, no. So that pretty much blew that out of the water. But I was actually really disappointed when I looked at the clock and knew my friends were partying and dancing on tables and a whole bunch of other stuff rowdy teenagers do while I was sitting on the couch with my little sister watching Dora the Explorer. But it made me a better person, and I'm so thankful for my mom that she intervened. So now on to the fun stuff. Does anyone want to guess? what I'm going to talk about?
Food?
No,
what happened
not
on that Dora episode?
Well, you know, Dora finally found the mountain, you know. No, I'm going to talk to you guys about sex. And yeah, I know, right? Pretty weird for Antioch, but it's actually a really important thing in our lives. Each person is an intricate and complex creation of God. Part of this uniqueness is our sexuality. And how do we treat this precious gift of God? I know I've struggled, and you probably have too, and it's okay. We teenagers are changing so much right now, not only physically, but psychologically. It's important to understand our sexuality and how it's used and appreciated. And yeah, there is a difference between sex and sexuality. Sexuality is a part of personhood, and much more than just a physical thing. It's a key ingredient when relating to others. Whether you marry, stay single, or enter into the religious life, sexuality will always be a vital part of how you live your life and in your relationships. Sexuality is the expression of characteristics identified as male or female. So, you've heard, sex has been warped into being some casual thing you do, and part of this is because of pornography. It's creating a false image of sex and what men and women should do and look like. It's like porn is the new version of King David and Bathsheba from the Bible. Remember the agape meal?
Yeah.
So, I would like to share with you a great saying from Pope John Paul II. It says, "The problem with porn is that it does not show too much of the person, but far too little." So, many relationships nowadays are selfish based. Why, you may ask? Well, the desire of your physical needs become greater than anything else in the relationship. And let me tell you, it's terrible. Personally, I've been in that situation. And of course it was fun at the time of the relationship, but now I look back on it and see how much it separated not only me, but the other person from God. And if you love someone, you want to do what's best for them. And by the way, if they tell you they want to take your relationship a step further and intensify your relationship because they love you, honey, you got a big storm coming. They most likely are not in it for the right reasons. And maybe it's not the right time to be with that person. Maybe it will be better in the future. And no one really knows what the future holds. So, speaking of future, not the rapper. Just like a lot of you, I have plans for my future. And even though I have plans, God is up there laughing at me because this may not be what he wants me to do, but that's okay. We're going to find a happy medium. But anyway, my plans for the future would be I would love to be married with children in a nice house with a puppy or four, it depends. And I want to be able to raise my children around the Catholic faith. I like a guy who can make me laugh on my worst days, a guy who is supportive of me and my decisions, and is trustworthy. Now, this isn't just gonna happen in one day. My future boyfriend is not just gonna one day buy me a house and a puppy, although let's admit that'd be pretty cute, and say, "Let's make some babies." It takes time, and believe it or not, it has actually started to happen in your life. You've started preparing for the future. I'm sure some of you have been in a relationship, and that's part of the preparing for your future process. At this time in our lives, we are learning about relationships, but also learning to express our sexuality. We are establishing our future by our behaviors and attitudes. Dating is one way to learn and mature. The way you handle dating now is preparing you for this dream that is your future. Let's face it, when you date someone, you're either going to break up or get married. It's important to date with intention. And part of our marriage is our virginity. I've come to respect mine a lot more than I have in the past. It's like this title you have, but no one really cares about it until something happens to theirs. For example, one of my friends at school, was talking about her body count like it was some prize for getting that many guys. She asked me about it. She's like, hey, how about you? And I was like, no. And then I felt like she was judging me. But to me, it's really important, and I don't take it as a joke. I hope you all realize that your virginity is important too. But if you've had a troubled past with anything relating to this, God will forgive you as long as you're actually willing to make an effort not to do it again. To partake in the act of premarital sex is to take part of the person with you and leave part of you behind. God created sex for a married husband and wife, not for you and that guy named Jimmy you met 20 minutes ago at Razzle's. That brings me to another topic. Husbands and wives having a permanent commitment with each other. Did you know that over 56% of married people divorce? Yeah, remember those vows you said in front of God, your family, your spouse's family? Yeah, those were for real, and God wants you to keep them no matter what happens. You stick with the person you marry because it's a choice you made. That's why dating is so important. You have to know what you're getting into before the whole for life thing is thrown at you. So now we're going to take a trip down memory lane. Actually, it won't be that long for you guys. But remember that hot, popular kid in middle school that everyone liked? And you're like, wow, I really wish I could date them. Yeah, if you don't remember, it was probably you, congrats. But it definitely wasn't me. So I remember in middle school, I really liked this guy, but so did my best friend. We tried so hard getting his attention, it was honestly pathetic. Like one time, we were at a track, and I said to him, I bet I could do the long jump fast better than you. And he's like, LOL bit. And like do you know what the long jump is? Yeah. Yeah? Okay. So I went way back and I just like ran. I started running so fast to gain speed to soar over this dirt pile. And it turns out I was running so fast I tripped and fell. My face hit the dirt and I had the taste of sand in my mouth for about 3 days. But the weird thing was, it must have worked because then my friend got super mad at me because he liked me. And I was like, I guess I gotta throw dirt in my face more often. I was thrilled. I was like, heck yeah, we're gonna be such a cute couple. But then I realized I was like showing him off and like making him a trophy without actually treating him like a person. I was just like, look at him, and not like, yeah. So, do we use our relationships to better our self-esteem? I know I have. This kid I know liked me a lot in middle school. Yeah, I have a lot of boy stories. And he always complimented me. But even though I didn't like him back, I would always ask for compliments that boosted my self-esteem because it made me feel better. And I later on realized that all I was attracted to was the compliments he gave me. And that wasn't fair to him at all. So another thing with relationships, do you like to be in control? Like who wears the pants in the relationship? So have you ever seen those couples at school and you say to yourself, well, they're whipped. I have. Well, I guess not. Maybe the reason you want to be in charge of the other person is because you feel vulnerable and you want to take control so you don't feel that way anymore. But a true loving relationship will demand equality between both people, and it will demand a total giving from both people. We should be practicing this now so we know what a good relationship is when we start to think about marriage, if that is your calling. Are you honestly ready to do this in your future? Do we respect one another and we treat one another with respect and dignity? Or is it a relationship containing roughness, sarcasm, and jokes that are pretended to be humorous, but they actually hurt the other person? If you do these things now while dating, chances are you'll probably treat your spouse in the same way. Yeah, I have been guilty of most of the things mentioned, but I've made a point to refine my old perspective. I realized that I was not putting myself in a good position to better my future marriage, hopefully. Your family represents the amazing relationships God has given to you. Most of the time, I don't give my family the respect they deserve. My normal afternoon consists of me going into my room and doing my homework. And then usually, I shower. And then I either watch Netflix or get caught up in doing something in my room. Like, the other day I was like, my sock drawer hasn't been organized in a while. So I barely see my parents because I'm so distracted with everything else that's going on in my life. And I honestly forget about them sometimes. But what we barely realize is that while we're getting older, so are they. And one day you won't be able to call your mom and say, hey mom, I had the best day, guess what happened? Because she won't be here anymore, or your dad. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. But I realized that I should start communicating more with them while I still can. And speaking of my parents do so much for me, I don't think I could ever repay them. Most of you know, my family is very strong in their Catholic faith. But honestly, we lack faith in each other. I don't support them as much as I should. And this is especially with my relationship with my brother. We hold grudges all the time, we fight constantly, and it's honestly over the smallest things. It's terrible. We've gone far too long without talking to each other. But this doesn't make him feel important, and it's not the way I should be talking to him. So I really need to work on strengthening my relationship with my brother. I know some of you are feeling the same way, and it's okay. I just have to work on breaking away the tension we have between us for good, and maybe you guys can take my advice and do it as well. Because good relationships work both ways, with two people both equally required. Now, we've discovered the need to make changes in our day-to-day lives, and it's important to begin making that change today. We should start out by selecting an area which you really want to change about your life, and then continue from there. It doesn't have to be a fast change. I'm still working on my life, and I heard this talk like 3 years. Actually, no, just kidding. I don't know when, but it was a long time ago. I started by getting rid of the things that didn't better my future plans, like getting rid of negative things and people. People who bring you down, for example, and things that hurt your relationship with God. So I'm going to make sure that every day I pray to God, asking him to help guide me and all of you in the way that he wants our futures to go, whether we like it or not. Asking him for forgiveness of what we've done in the past and for help with the future. Because God knows you and I both need it. And this isn't just a promise to do better, but a way to bring me closer to God. I intend to change my life for the better, refining myself so that I could be the person that God wants me to be day by day.